Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you from the great state of Pennsylvania. I want to continue on where we left off early this morning on the subject of healing and
God's will to heal.
And God's will to heal, yes. Thank you for that, sweetheart. I was like having a moment here. What was the title of this series? Anyway, so praise the Lord, everybody. Thanks for joining us with this broadcast. I truly believe you will be blessed, as I know we will, you know, because God, Amen. You know, He's awesome. And it's awesome to have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us and, you know, have Him speak through us, or, you know, in us and through us, that we hear things we say. And it's like, wow, did I just say that? No, the Holy Spirit spoke it through us, and Amen. It blesses us so much as well. And so we want to start with the foundation scripture in Isaiah 55 again. But before we get to that, I want to introduce once again my beloved sweetheart, the love of my life, and let her introduce herself and share a few things as the Lord gives her.
Amen. Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. It is such a pleasure and honor to be a part of this podcast. There are so many things, you know, that we do during the day, and I'm sure that you, the listeners, there are many things that you do as well. But I do want to share that this time that my husband and I, Keith and I, sit down to record and just be inspired by the Holy Spirit, it's one of the most precious things that we do. Truly, it is worthwhile when we invest in the eternal things. And why do I say that it's one of the most precious things that we do? Because we know that it's making a difference in your life. This is not just sitting down, taking some time to talk, just to entertain or just to kill some time. No, no, no. We know, first of all, that we are being led by the Holy Spirit, including the topics, of course. The Lord is the one who says what He wants us to speak about. As a matter of fact, what He is speaking through us. And then to know that He's actually using this time to change so many people's hearts, way of thinking, lifestyle, to disciple, to teach in healing and love, etc., and everything that we can learn about the Lord, which only makes us, of course, better and stronger Christians. So that's what this time is about. So thank you so much. You are very precious to us, but even more precious to the Lord who gave His life for you.
Amen, sweetheart. I just love it when you share the word. I'm always so blessed, and I'm blessed to have you as my wife. Dear Lord, I am the luckiest or most blessed man on the face of the earth. I just know it. God,
thank you.
Is so good.
I'm blessed too.
Thank you, sweetheart. Good to know. Okay, so with Isaiah 55, I want to kind of, you know, just reiterate a few moments here about what we shared yesterday on God's thoughts. And first we talked about how many preachers and churches have taught that, you know, that God's thoughts are, you know, past finding out, that they're too mysterious for us to know. He's too deep, He's too high above all of our own thoughts. And we get that idea if we only read verse 8 and 9, where it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, like I said, that sounds like that's exactly what it's saying. But like I said yesterday, or early this morning in this podcast, you know, when you read verse 6 and 7, you see He's talking to the wicked. He's talking to the ones who need to repent, and they need to turn to Him. Because He says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Why? Because He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. I want you to come over to what my thoughts are. I want you to get my thoughts and my understanding so that you can know how I want you to live." So this is really what God is saying. He's not saying that I'm so far beyond you that you can't know who I am. He said, "No, I want you to know who I am. Amen. I want you to repent and come over here and let me teach you." And so what we want to talk about in this is God's will to heal is we want you to have God's thoughts on the matter concerning healing.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us clearly, you know, if you read and study the Word in any length of time, you will begin to see that God's nature is a nature of healing. He wants His people to be well. He wants His people to, you know, He wants all people to be saved, because the Scripture says in you know, Peter wrote that it's not God's will that any should perish. God doesn't want anyone going to hell, but they do. He doesn't want anybody to die of sickness and disease, but they do. Mm-hmm. He wants everyone to be well. He wants, that is His will, you know. And we know this from Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to turn there real quick. Because I think, you know, people say, well, you know, when I read the Bible, I see all these things that God was doing, you know, as punishment to the children of Israel in the Old Testament. And, you know, God is a hard taskmaster. God is somebody that, you know, we should be afraid of. But this isn't really what the Bible teaches about the Lord. Because even in the Old Testament, we're told in Deuteronomy, it says that he tells the children of Israel, he said, I set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Choose life. Amen. That you and your children, descendants, may live. It's God's will and desire for people to be blessed and prosper. He doesn't want them to be under the curse. It's not His desire for that at all. So when we read in Matthew chapter 6, we can see the Lord's Prayer where He says in verse 9, He says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. What I want to key in on here is on verse number 10, where He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We've talked about this before, and I ask this question again, and most of you know the answer to this, you know, that's been listening to these broadcasts, or even, you know, you studied the Word yourself for quite a while. How is it in heaven? Is there sickness and disease in heaven? Is there poverty in heaven? Is there anybody crippled? Is there anybody broke down, depressed, suicidal? None of these things exist in heaven.
None of that.
None of it, right? So when He says, your will, pray that, you know, what Jesus says is, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's reflecting the heart of God to us by telling us that it's God's will, the Father's will, that people had the same experience or benefits that they have in heaven. There's no sickness and disease in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven. There's nobody crippled. There's no one depressed. There's no one struggling. People are walking in the blessings of God. They're walking in the health and healing and wholeness and soundness of God. This is God's will for mankind. So when we say in Isaiah 55, let the wicked forsake his way, you might say, well, you know, that's talking about people that are, you know, big time, you know, sinners and criminals or whatever. You've done some very bad things. But He also said, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Well, if you are one who believes God is going around punishing people because He just does that kind of thing, and it's not His will to heal because you know people who are not getting healed, or you know people who died because of some tragic event, then you're blaming God for that, then obviously you need to forsake that unrighteous thought, because that is not the heart of God. That is not the mind of God. No. And faith can only begin, and we talked about this before, faith can only begin where the will of God is known. If you don't know it's the will of God for you to be well, then you're not going to have the faith for it to receive from God, because God is a God of faith, and faith is something He requires of His people. And you might say, well, then why is that? Because, you know, how would we know? Well, because it's based on relationship. when you get to know someone, you'll know what they'll do. So when you don't know what they'll do, then that means you really don't know them that well. You know,
that's right.
There's been people told me, you know, about people I knew that I thought I knew really well. I said, you don't really know that person at all because you don't know these things that I know about them. And to my surprise, I come to find out that I didn't know them as well as I thought I did because they had another side to their personality or to their, you know, their life that was completely in opposition to the very things that I saw from them because they hid that from me. And see, but God is telling us that if you don't know me, it's because you ain't spend time with me. You get to spend time with God, you'll get to know him and you'll know what he'll do. And just as my sweetheart said, and I'm gonna let her jump in here is when she's ready, is that when you get to know God through his word, you get to know him. And see, that's how he expects you to come to learn who he is. He's not, you know, most people think, you know, well, God is like people. He's just going to come down and sit down beside you and he's going to have a chat with you. That ain't how he operates. He operates through the word. And when you get to know the word, you get to know him. Amen. And then he works from there. So,
amen. That's beautiful. And I just, yes, I did want to share something. First of all, I wanted to personally thank God for the Holy Spirit. How beautiful of God that he would give us the Holy Spirit to show us and teach us who God is, to teach us the truth, to show us what the plan of salvation is, to introduce us and reveal Jesus to us. This is an amazing thing. When you think about it, when people want to remain hidden, when they want to conceal their identity, you have to work hard to try to find something about them. You know, there are some people who are really good hiding their identity and there's no history on them and, you know, they erase all trace. But if you've noticed with the Bible, there is so much here to learn about God. If he wanted to keep his identity hidden, we would not have a Bible. We would not have the Holy Spirit. So with that being said, we have to remember and just keep it very fresh in our mind that God wants us to know him, which is why he came. We could not go to God because we cannot reach God on our own. So what does God do? He comes to us. So all of this to say and agree, obviously, with what the word is saying, the Lord is inviting us. He's speaking to these non-believers, but he can definitely teach us and remind us that his thoughts, his way of thinking is so much higher than what we think. As a matter of fact, I'm going to specifically pinpoint and say the way that we think about God is always going to be so much shorter, smaller, and shortchanging him from the truth. God is who God is a gazillion, I don't know if that's a number, but it's a gazillion times higher than what we can possibly define him or think that he is. So once again, I'm going to take that portion there. My thoughts are higher than yours. When you think that you know me all, you've got me all defined, all figured out, it's not even the beginning of a small surface that you're beginning to scratch. So what an invitation. That is why it's going to take eternity and then some, and we still will be in awe of God. So what a wonderful thing we have to look forward to. But you know what? We don't have to wait to get to heaven. That's the beauty of it. He didn't say, amen, one day when you come home, I'll introduce myself to you. He wants us to have a relationship with him here now while we are walking on this planet. So what an invitation. If any of us, I think, received an invitation from the king, we would probably feel very honored. If it was the president, as a matter of fact, even the mayor, we would feel honored. Mm. How much more so that the king of the universe, the creator of the universe, is extending us an invitation to come and have a personal, not through his assistant, personal relationship with him. What an amazing invitation that is.
It's beautiful, sweetheart. Yes, people still like can't wrap their mind around that concept. God would want to have a relationship with me. Are you kidding me? I mean, I can't even get the mayor's attention. He's too busy, you know. But yet, we say the relationship is founded upon the Word of God. You get to know the Word, you get to know Him, and you understand Him better.
Right.
And we got evidence of this. Look in Hebrews chapter 3, where God talked about the children of Israel. And He says here, this is when they wouldn't believe, and they end up having to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until most all of them passed away, until their children grew up and inherited the promised land. And He says here in verse 7 in Hebrews chapter 3, He says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways.
Wow.
So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief.
Wow.
In departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was He angry 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. And chapter 4 starts out continuing with this. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Now I want to reiterate a few points here in this passage from verse 7 that I started with to verse 2 of chapter 4, where He says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. That's key to this whole thing, because they didn't want to know God. You know, this is what I'm reading here. This is quite a clear interpretation. They did not want to know God, but they wanted the hand of God to give Him, you know, might say, as some people used to say, like, give it to them on the silver platter, you know, the promised land, all the blessings of God.
Just the benefits, not the relationship.
Right. And that's very key. And He says they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. You know, we're talking about a relationship here with the Lord, with the King of the universe, with God Himself. And people's like, what? God wants a relationship with me? Like I can't even get the attention of the mayor or even the city council. But why would God want a relationship with me? Because He created you.
Amen.
To have a relationship with Him.
How beautiful.
You've got to wrap your mind around that if
right.
you have it. That He wants that to have that with you. And He even says, I think in Hebrews, in another place, where it says that He desires earnestly right, jealously for us to have the Holy Spirit, right, mm-hmm. so that he can basically have communion with us, a relationship with us. He longs for that. And it's you think of God, you know, because he's so powerful and almighty right. that he doesn't have any longings. Right. He longs for a relationship with his people, with his creation, and you are one of those people.
That is why I believe the enemy tries so hard and works so hard on disconnecting the creation of God, human beings, us people, with the fact that God created us. Because when you try to take God out of the picture, out of your life, there is a disconnect. But how beautiful it is when children are taught the truth. Little children are taught the truth that they were made by God. And what I mean is, what so much damage is done when children are taught otherwise, that there is no creator, that they, you know, just came from evolution, and there is no one who is greater than them. As a matter of fact, they are the greatest being in the universe. But what you're saying is that, I loved it when you said that, that God loves you. Why? Because he made you. And believe it or not, I'm sure you agree, that's probably going to be news to some people, because they've never heard that, because they haven't been taught that God made him, made her. But I am so glad that you, it sounds so basic, but it may be basic for us that we've been reading the Bible and we've been hearing the truth since early childhood. Many people, now grown-ups, as children, did not hear that truth. But that is a powerful truth that I'm sure is going to make a difference in a lot of people's lives. God loves you. Why does God want that closeness with you, that relationship? Because he made you. I love that. You have to say that again. That was amazing, because it's so simple yet so powerful. It's such a basic truth all the way in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, we find that. Before anything else, we find that truth. How can we pretend to build on a relationship with God if we don't even know who he is, much less what his relationship with us is? So what a powerful statement. Thank you for saying that.
Well, appreciate that, sweetheart. And, you know, some people might say, well, you know, I have this idea, or they've heard this thought, that God made, you know, all of creation in order to be subservient to him. They're just, you know, slaves. You know, he made them to serve him so they can come bow down before him and, you know, state how great he is. That, you know, I've heard some atheists make this statement that God, he's got the biggest ego problem of anybody ever, right? And yet, you know, when I read here in verse 12 of chapter 3 of Hebrews, where he says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And then down here in verse 18, where he says, and to whom did he swear that he would not, that they would not enter his rest, but those who did not obey. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. See, they're not believing that God loves them. They're not believing that God wants to have a relationship with them. They're not believing God is good. Believing God is a taskmaster. They're believing God has an ego problem. Mm. They're believing God is just some authoritarian that wants to dictate and control and rule everybody. And it takes pleasure in their pain and their suffering.
And we know where that message comes from.
Exactly. The evil one.
Exactly.
You know, the same one that came to Eve in the beginning and said, hath God said, you shall not surely die? You know, he knew what God had said, but yet he was there to cast doubt on God's character and his nature.
Right. Bring division.
Yeah, because what did he want to do? He wanted people to serve him and follow what he had to say instead of what God had to say. And so if you're listening to any thoughts or voices that's contrary to what God is saying, then you can know where that's coming from.
That's right.
The evil one. And that's not a, that's not somebody you want to be in agreement with. You know, I want to be in agreement with the Most High God.
Amen.
And so you have to change your way of thinking. If you're that kind of person who's believed that, you have to forsake your thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God and get to know what God has said in His Word, that yes, God holds people accountable. God is a God of justice and righteousness. And the scripture says in Galatians 6 that, you know, that whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. But we also know that God is a God of great mercy and forgiveness, and is not willing that any should perish. He wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
That's right.
So if you will get to know God that way, you will get to know that God not only wants you to be well, but if you're sick, He wants you to be healed so you can be well. And as we're talking about this series of God's will to heal, you know, here we go again, going back to the relationship part of that teaching, because you're not going to, you know, none of us is going to develop a strong faith in God's willingness to heal if we haven't, if we're not willing to develop a relationship with Him to get to know Him, because His willingness to heal is part and connected with His very nature and character. And you need to get to know His nature and His character. And you'll get to know more of that as you study the Word and learn what He says in the Scriptures. And you'll see that He sent His only begotten Son, full of grace and truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins.
Amen.
But He also came to heal us, because it says that by His stripes we were healed. I will quote basically a part of Isaiah 53, where it says that surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Healing was provided at the cross of Calvary, just as salvation was from our sins. Healing, wholeness, soundness, and deliverance. And this is why Jesus said, and we repeat again from Luke chapter 4, why Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim deliverance to the captives, to open up the blind eyes, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and, you know, to free them from all oppression." And I'm not quoting exactly, you know, verbatim, but Jesus is talking about He was sent by the Father to take upon Himself the sins of the world in order so people can be saved, they can be healed, and they can be delivered.
Amen.
Because it is God's will for us to be in relationship with Him and experience the blessings of God.
Amen. God is so good. You know, you read in Isaiah 55, and I was just looking at this verse again, and I have my Spanish Bible open, so I'm going to just quickly translate. I'm not sure if it's verbatim, but here it says, speaking of God, about God's thoughts, it says, as heaven is so much higher than earth. And that's quite a distance. Talking about God's thoughts and His ways, and how much more, I'm going to put it in kind of plain language, how much better His ideas are than ours.
Yeah.
It's not only like, you know, a slight difference. Well, you know, what God thinks is a little bit better than mine. We're talking about the distance between the earth and, I mean, here, our ground and heaven. That's quite a difference, the skies, right? And so it is such a good thing, a smart thing, to truly just surrender to God's thoughts, to say, God, what are You saying? What do You say? I think it's a very smart and humbling thing, a very wise thing, to just acknowledge straight out, God has better plans than me. God's ideas are better than mine. God's plans are better than mine. Not just kind of better, extremely, exponentially better. And, you know, as I'm saying this, I'm being ministered myself, because sometimes we think that God can improve slightly our plans. And he's saying, no, don't you understand? My ideas are so much better than yours. And the good thing about God is that his thoughts are not just good ideas. He can actually make them happen, because I can have a very good idea and I have no way of making it happen. But God has his thoughts are amazing thoughts, and he can make them happen. So I'm saying this, repeating what you said, because what he says about love, his thoughts are better than ours. What he says about healing, no matter what I've learned, I've heard, no matter what I'm comfortable with in terms of doctrine, I'm going to come to the Lord and say, Lord, this is what I've learned about healing, but I want to surrender to your thoughts. What are your thoughts? What are you saying? I understand that what you tell me is the truth, and it is so much better than my thoughts. Your ways are better than mine. So, and we also want to make sure before we close that we extend the invitation to those that don't know what salvation is, and talk about God's thoughts. God thought about you. Guess what? Even before you were born, he thought about you, and he knew that you and I, I'm going to include myself in this package, that you and I were going to be born separated from him. But guess what? He loves you so much, and he loves me so much. He actually made a way. He made a way so that you did not have to be separated from him, but that you can have salvation. One day you and I are going to close our eyes, and the Bible says, and it is true, the Bible says that you and I will spend eternity somewhere. You don't just disappear, as some people say, and just become one with the universe. That's not true. You will spend eternity somewhere. The question is where. There are only two options, heaven or hell. So if you do not accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you will be judged for the sins that you die with. But if you give your sins to Jesus, you say, Jesus, I cannot do this by myself. I need you. Jesus will take your sins upon himself, and he will forgive you and give you his righteousness. And then you will be a brand new born again creature, person that will have the eternity secured, knowing that you will be with him forever and ever. So what an amazing invitation. And just remember, God's plan for you, this plan of salvation, is the best one. There is no other plan of salvation. Even if somebody tells you that there is another way, that's not true, because nobody knows better how to get to heaven than the owner of heaven, which is God. Right?
Praise the Lord, sweetheart. That is so true. You know, this is a day that the Lord has made.
Amen.
And you need to accept it, because you know what? I think the smartest thing that a person can ever do is acknowledge that God knows more than we know.
That's right.
And if anyone's going to change their ways, it's like you told me many years ago, you know, Malachi 3:6, for I'm the Lord, I do not change. And why he told me to meditate on that several days in a row, I was perplexed as to why. And he said, I want you to get this down in your spirit. He said, if anybody's going to change, it's going to have to be you, not me.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, you know what? We got millions of people, billions of people on this earth, and we can have a possible number of different opinions as there are people. But yet God is constant. God is sure. God knows what he's doing. He's forever, eternal. He knows all. He's omnipotent, all powerful. And if we're going to think we know it all, we got another thing in common. It's God who knows it all.
That's right.
And when we wise up, we realize that he does, and we need to come over to his thoughts and forsake our own.
Amen. That's the beginning of wisdom. Absolutely.
Amen. So we'll end this broadcast here, and we thank all for listening, and God bless you all in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless.